points for this Thursday, the 27th of April. Well, your taxes could be going down if it makes its way through. Tax reform unveiled by Donald Trump. Obamacare's repeal is coming closer. The North Korean White House summit with all the United States senators, that'll be in focus. And Sanctuary City is the judge that kicked that back. Yeah, he raised $200,000 for Barack Obama, the man who later appointed him to his position. Gee, what do you think? And spring spiders in Michigan, be careful. They could be quite dangerous. And so could this program. Jeff Greer, Pete Hoekstra, Congressman Jack Bergman, Congressman Tim Walberg, all stacked and packed in one great place. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. It is the 27th of April, 2017. And if what's put forth by the Trump administration yesterday comes to pass, it could save you a ton of money. Of course, the only thing you're going to hear from the left and the media is, and it doesn't even matter where you go, does Shepard Smith drive you bananas? I mean, I can't hardly watch the guy. You know, you click him on in the middle of the day, he pretends to be objective. He's a tool. I think the guy's just a tool. Anyhow, I mean, the guy was charged a few years ago. You may not remember this. There was a news event, and he went and he was driving to this news event, and there was some young producer, a young lady from another network, standing in a parking spot waiting for the live truck to arrive. And Shepard Smith just wheeled his car in there, bumped her with a bumper, bumped her right out of the way, parked and left. Yeah, he was charged with misdemeanor assault for just being a jackwagon, frankly. Anyhow, the only thing you're going to hear from the opposition, including people like Shepard Smith and the rest of the media that opposes Donald Trump, is how it's going to help millionaires. Well, I'm not really concerned how it helps millionaires. I'm concerned how it would help me and my family and maybe you and yours. When the basic deduction for a married couple is doubled from $6,300 to $12,600, which it would be, that's a big deal. For the companies that I own, for small companies and medium-sized companies as well, dropping the tax rate to 15%, well, you can't go wrong there. That leaves a ton of extra money in people's pockets, allows people to reinvest in their companies, to grow their companies, to put more money into the economy, plus repatriating a couple trillion dollars from overseas, maybe more, with a one-time fee to bring it back home. And it'll be globally competitive, we are told. Now, if America goes to 20% for a business tax rate, that'll be important, but not really globally significant. When you look at places like Ireland that dropped their corporate tax rate to 12.5% a couple of years ago, and their economy has gone wild. But if America drops it to 15%, that will be a big deal. It'll be boom times. Because money will come here, investment money will come here from all over the globe. Despite whatever problems we may have, we're still the most desirable location on the planet for a whole host of reasons. As long as we defend our freedoms and make sure that our liberty is maintained, we will continue to be the most desirable destination, location, relocation spot on the planet. But it doesn't matter what Donald Trump does as president. Whether he puts forth a good plan for taxes or not, he will be opposed at every turn, every day. And the opposition isn't just from Democrats, but also from Republicans who act more like a roving pack of cats than a political party. For all intents and purposes, Trump is really more of an independent than truly belonging to the GOP. You figured that out, of course. He's more, probably the most independent president of my lifetime for sure, and probably of all time. In fact, many would argue openly that he has a big streak of Manhattan liberal. Where does that come from? Well, just you can look at the facts. Ivanka, for example, just announced that she is now a proponent of bringing Syrian refugees to America as part of what she called a humanitarian crisis and the big solution in the big picture. That seems the president can't even catch a break from his own family and his own senior advisors. Today will be just like every other one over the nearly 100 days he's been in office. The administration had a big day yesterday. They'll have a big day today. They'll have a big day tomorrow. Yesterday included a top-level security briefing for the entire United States Senate on the deteriorating situation in North Korea and the looming battle on that peninsula and what's going to happen there. And then, of course, a couple of hours later, the tax plan was unveiled. There it is. And about the same time, there it all is. And Democrats were howling. And their cohorts in the media howling before it was even made public. And then, of course, plans are now moving along to repeal Obamacare. Apparently, it's attracted the conservative Freedom Caucus. And before that announcement could even settle, moderate Republicans were taking shots at the new proposal there. It doesn't really seem to matter what's put up. President Trump is the focus of an angry media, for sure. And even angrier contempt from those on the left, and many more just looking to pile on and get a jab or two in for their own benefit and for sport. But I would strongly suggest to redirect your attention back to that USA Today column that we talked about here yesterday that focuses on a group of 25 Trump voters, all of which, every single one, would vote for him again. I've never heard of such a thing. There is exactly zero buyer's remorse. Talk to Trump supporters and see what they say. Would you vote for him again? You're damn right I would. Why? Because he's better than she was. And he's better than anything else we've been offered. And he keeps fighting for me. Those are the kind of answers you hear. Would you vote for Donald Trump again? You're damn right I would. So I would direct the attention of these people like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and a whole host of others to pay attention to what was there in the USA Today. 25 for 25. Hillary Clinton didn't fare nearly as well. 96% of Trump voters in a ABC News Washington Post poll said they would vote for him again. 96%. Only 80% of Hillary Clinton's voters said the same. At the 100-day mark, I've seen this president battled by the media every single day. The courts on several fronts have battled him on a regular basis. The left and the right have attacked him, from Chuck Schumer to Justin Amash, for that matter. This president seems to get it from all sides every single day. And here on day 98, I think the most amazing thing is that he is still standing in the batter's box, and he's still taking swings every single day. He's out there. He's swinging at it, man. 28 pieces of legislation signed so far, I believe. I'd have to go back and check, but I'll put it up. I think he signed 28 pieces of legislation into law, plus 24, 25 executive orders. It's been exciting. 14 after, quick break here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
As we close in on day 100, here's another big deal. Distract a little bit because I've got a listener telling me something big that I can't share with you yet. But if I can get my hands on it, ooh, makes a chill run down my spine. Expose these people for what they are. Expose these people for what they are. Anyhow, remember how President Trump said he would renegotiate NAFTA and all the people on the left laughed? Well, guess what? Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto and Canadian Prime Minister Justin, I'm just a child, Trudeau have all decided that they will renegotiate NAFTA as long as Donald Trump doesn't terminate it immediately. All three leaders agreed to proceed swiftly according to their required internal procedures to enable the renegotiation of the trade deal to the benefit of all three countries. There it is, boys and girls. Once again, another big win. Although the media will bury this. But the White House had drafted a notification signaling the United States had intended to withdraw from NAFTA. If that document had been presented, it would have given the leaders of Canada and Mexico just 6 months to know that the exit was coming and we weren't going to play ball anymore. And they said, yeah, wait. Well, don't, you know what? We were just kidding. That whole hardball, hard nose thing. Yeah, we're good. We'll go ahead and renegotiate. You're damn right you will. So sit down and let's make a deal that makes sense for everybody. And not just for one team or the other. Not just for one team or the other. The Trump administration last month submitted a vague set of guidelines to Congress for renegotiating NAFTA, disappointing many who thought he was going to demand a major overhaul. Well, guess what? He's getting his major overhaul, and it tells me again, do not underestimate this president. Please. You do so at your own peril. Underestimating Donald Trump at this point, you do so at your own peril. Yeah. Anyhow, keep an eye on that. But NAFTA, to be renegotiated, there it is. An 8-page draft letter to Congress. Acting U.S. Trade Representative Stephen Vaughn wrote that the administration intended to start talking with Mexico and Canada about making changes to the pact. It took effect back in 1994. Ross Perot famously saying, that big sucking sound will be jobs going to Mexico. Remember that?
Just look at my chart here. You see on my chart? That big sucking sound you hear is all our jobs going to Mexico.
All right, it's not very good. I'll give you that. Anyhow, they're going to renegotiate that deal. According to a new poll, by the way, 2 out of 3 Americans believe the Democratic Party out of touch with you. 2 out of 3 Americans believe that the Democratic, 67%, more than 2 out of 3, labeled the Democrats as out of touch with average Americans. That theme repeated at a recent Democratic event in Mahoning County, Ohio. It doesn't matter how much we scream and holler about jobs and the economy at the local level, our national leaders just don't get it. That comes from David Betras, the county chair. Mahoning County, Ohio. While Trump is talking about trade and jobs, they're still obsessing about which bathrooms people should be allowed to go into and who got more in the popular vote. And the answer is, who cares? The poll noted that the new findings show the Democratic Party is getting worse in the minds of just about all Americans. Let's compare this, by the way, to a poll done in March 2014, where just 48% of Americans thought the Democrats were out of touch. Again, the number now, 67%. It's gone up 50%, nearly 50% increase in those who believe the Democrats are out of touch. More than 2 out of 3 of you believe that the party of Berkeley and Pelosi and Schumer just isn't there with you. The party of big city elites telling you how you should live, what's best for you. They know what's best for your children. And if you don't believe what they tell you and act accordingly, well, then by God, you're a fascist. You're just a fascist if you don't believe exactly what I tell you to believe. And then you've got the Ann Coulter thing at the Battle of Berkeley folding. Deeply disappointing to me. Of course, having met Ann a couple of times and interviewed her a couple of times, knowing she only weighs about 100 pounds soaking wet, you know, I'd be a little fearful for my safety, too. You know, a good gust of wind around Michigan lately could have knocked Ann Coulter down. So if she gets into a situation where there are chairs being thrown or chairs coming through the window or whatever might happen, safety a big concern for her. But it disgusts me that Democrats, many Democrats and those that vote Democrat, are okay with it. We'll shout down freedom of speech, and they're okay with it. It's baffling. You do? You got Ross Perot? Hey, you know what? Let's go. Yeah, I just saw that. Let's hear that big sucking sound. Let's have
it. For those of you in the audience who are business people, pretty simple. If you're paying $12, $13, $14 an hour for factory workers, and you can move your factory south of the border, pay a dollar an hour for labor, hire a young 25, that's assume you've been in business for a long time, you've got a mature workforce. Pay a dollar an hour for your labor, have no health care, that's the most expensive single element, making a car, have no environmental controls, no pollution controls, and no retirement, and you don't care about anything but making money, there will be a giant sucking sound going south.
Did you hear that, though, back in 1994? That would have been 1992. That would have had to come from the election year 1992. Healthcare, the single most expensive item of building an automobile. Man, if he only knew. 25 after, this is the Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Every day. Get on the bus that takes me to you. I'm so nervous, I just sit and smile.
It's only another mile. All right, welcome back to a 33 after. Throwback Thursday, so that's what that is, right? Let's throw that up on the Steve Gruber Show Facebook page for you. A little who for you. Why not? It can't all be, you know, work in the coal mine, you know. Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel. Once in a while, you got to take a break, take a breath. You'd go crazy if you didn't, watching everything that happens. Can you imagine what it's like in the pressure cooker of the White House? Jeff Cruer with me now, columnist, author of a timely new book, America's Last Chance. Jeff, how you doing today?
You make a good point. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Well, you can't just stay focused on all this stuff all the time, man. You'd go nuts. You got to come up for air once in a while, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure the White House is a pressure cooker, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You know, I was talking about this. It doesn't matter what this president does. He is under attack every single day. It's constant from the left. It's constant from the media. You know, his tax plan wasn't even unveiled yet, and they're already taking shots. It's just going to help the rich. Well, yeah, but it's also going to help everybody else when you raise the basic deduction from $6,300 to $12,600. That helps every married couple in America making 50 grand or 80 grand or 100 grand. It helps everybody. They come after it. Now, the big concern that I would, you know, want to look at that was raised is what does it do to deficits, debts, and deficits? But, you know, to say it's only for the rich, that's I mean, do you guys have another card to play, or is that the only thing they can ever say? I mean, same card, same tomb, and same thing over and over and over.
Well, and they say that Donald Trump is helping himself and helping other billionaires, and that he's not connected to the working man and woman of the country. And I would say this, Steve: what have the Democrats, what have his opponents done for the working class in this country?
Apparently, not much. Little. Well, I was just reading this poll here just a moment ago, brand new poll that the Democrats are running scared from an angry base. 67% of Americans now believe that Democrats are out of touch with you and I and regular Americans, Jeff, that they're just out of touch altogether. And I think that might be being generous, actually, the two-thirds. I think it might actually be higher.
Well, when they see Democrats acting the way they are, I mean, these people are unhinged. I mean, Steve, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of Americans see what the Democrats are doing and say, hey, that doesn't represent me. I mean, these people are out of control. I mean, look at them at the rallies. Look at them up in Congress. Look at him on these shows.
Well,
I
let me ask you this.
I had the fortune of watching Nancy Pelosi last night.
Good Lord, I did. It's early. You know, I just had breakfast. Hold on. No, but a serious question, though, Jeff. Yeah, easy on the stomach. Because her early in the morning is dangerous enough. Her late at night, oof. But sanctuary cities. I mean, here's the message that the takeaway from the average American is living in backwater Louisiana or Podunk, Michigan, and everywhere in between. Is that illegal aliens, people that are here illegally, they're somehow more important than you that gets up every day and goes, you know, slogs off to your job, you know, pays your dues, you know, goes to your kid's game and the meet after school and then goes and see your grandkids. that somehow these illegals are more important. They have more standing than you do. And that doesn't play well. I mean, the Democrats used to be the defender of the little guy, the party that stood up for the working man. They're not there anymore. They don't even know who working people are because they're all at their cocktail parties in Manhattan. They have not one damn clue who working people are.
Yeah, and do you think the working people really care about some of these issues that the Democrats are promoting, transgender bathrooms, climate change, all of this other sort of far-left rhetoric? No, I don't think that connects with the working man, the working woman. And listen, in a lot of these urban areas across the country, the Democrats have been in control. They haven't delivered for the working class in this country. And I'm hoping the American people will give Donald Trump and the Republican Party a chance, but you know, they're going to have to deliver, Steve. They're going to have to come through with serious tax reform, with health care reform, infrastructure, the border security, everything that was promised, you know, or the American people are going to turn them out, too.
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth to that, because what they're seeing is Donald Trump has put forth a plan, or at least, you know, was on board with the plan. And the average American doesn't know the details up close and personal, but they know that he put forth a plan to repeal Obamacare. It hasn't happened yet. They know that he put forth a plan to, you know, get security at the southern border, whether that's a brick-and-mortar wall or some sort of wall, and he knows that's been pushed back. And these pushbacks are not coming from Democrats solely. It's coming from either the Freedom Caucus or moderate Republicans or other parts that are, of what is supposed to be his party, although in fairness, he's probably more close to being an independent than any president I have ever seen. But they know that he's out there swinging at what he said he was going to do for the most part. And that's why I point people to the USA Today focus group of 25 Trump supporters, 100% of which said they would vote for him again. That was in yesterday's USA Today. That's a really important point.
Well, because I think as Trump supporters, we see him working night and day. We see him pushing forward with the agenda. And we see the problems in two places, Steve. We see the problems in the Congress, and we see the problems in the courts. And we just saw that this week with another liberal judge turning down what the administration is trying to do with sanctuary cities. We saw that with the immigration ban. And we've seen the Congress drop the ball on health care. And who knows what they're going to do on tax reform. So, yeah, but the president, and with all his executive orders and the president, I think, pushing this agenda, I think his supporters say, yeah, he is following through on his commitments. And I'm not surprised they gave him high marks.
Not just high marks, 100% would vote for him again. And that's what also brings me back to the ABC News Washington Post poll from a couple of days ago. Donald Trump would collect 96% of the people that voted for him the first time. Hillary would get 80%, and Donald Trump would win again. I think Democrats, out of touch, is being polite. You know, they've got cranial rectal inversion, worst case I've ever seen.
Yeah, they don't want to look in the mirror. They don't want to look at the problems.
Well, you can't look
in
the mirror if you've got that situation going. Anyhow, go on.
No, I mean, all they want to do is criticize and point fingers at Donald Trump. All they want to do is claim Donald Trump is so horrible. I mean, they don't want to fix the problems in their own party. And look at this guy, Tom Perez, going around the country, this chairman, you know, dropping profanity everywhere he goes.
Oh, he's class act, isn't he?
Angry. I mean, I've never seen a party leader act in such a way. And one of these speeches, Steve, I saw like children in the audience, and this guy's, you know, dropping profanity.
Now, hold on. Now, here's the
kind of leader would do that?
Here's the craziness and the insanity that normal, ordinary people can see. You know, Donald Trump gets busted saying, you know, obviously off-color, vulgar, sexist remarks on a private mic that he didn't know was on, talking to a guy in a bus. Right, that gets spread everywhere. Perez is out front of children dropping these kind of language in front of the kids as a matter of routine discussion. And they don't see anything wrong with that. You know, Donald Trump said dirty things. Not to a bunch of kids he didn't, for God's sake.
No, and this guy Perez is doing it over and over and over again. And seemingly is embracing it now. I mean, I don't know. That's another reason why I think the American people are saying, hey, this party doesn't represent who we are.
But, you know, that's the thing. What is it, you know, and I've challenged people, and this will give you something to think about before we chat again, Jeff. What do Democrats stand for? And it's not a rhetorical question. See if you can come up with some good answers. Jeff, we got to run. Greatly appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Jeff Cruer, everybody. Look up the book, America's Last Chance, with Jeff. He's from Louisiana. He's a little bit on the Cajun side. We like him. He's here quite a bit, so look that up. And what does it mean? Serious question. What does it mean to be a Democrat in 2017? What is it you stand for? It's Thursday on the Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
To the drums of blue. All right, it's 45 after. Washington says it wants to bring Kim Jong-un to his senses, not to his knees, but it looks like this tension continues to grow unprecedented in my lifetime. I don't remember the United States Senate being called to the White House for a classified meeting, an intel meeting. Pete Hoekstra here, former chair of the House Intel Committee. Pete, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
Very serious situation. First of all, it's extraordinary for the president, any president, to call the entire United States Senate to the White House. I don't remember it happening. How unusual is it?
I think it's pretty unusual. Usually for these kinds of meetings, they will be held on Capitol Hill. They actually ended up meeting in the old executive office building. There's not a room large enough to brief in a secure environment. 100 people at a time, so it's quite unusual.
So how? Okay, so you've been in these arenas for a long time as your position as the House Intel Chair. You've seen classified documents. You know what North Korea was about when you left the job. It was probably a little bit frightening then. They have progressed to this point. Break it down for us. How big of a threat is Pyongyang today?
Oh, I think their level of threat continues to grow every day. There have been, I'm sure that we've talked about this before, but there was a report yesterday again that now North Korea is maybe within 3 to 5 years of the miniaturization of a nuclear weapon. Why is that important? It has to be miniaturized to be able to get on a ballistic missile. There's also a continued discussion that says, hey, they're 3 to 5 years away from greater ballistic missile capabilities. What does that mean? It means that if they put a nuke onto the tip of a ballistic missile, they've got to be able to not only get this thing up, but they have to protect the warhead as it's coming back in through the atmosphere. And it appears that, our intelligence experts believing that North Korea is making progress on both of those areas.
All right, so how do we deal with that? We know that and this was clearly a show of force, but the USS Michigan, an Ohio-class nuclear submarine armed with 24 Trident missiles, each of which can carry 10 nuclear warheads. I know because I was on that boat a few years ago. I was on the USS Michigan out in Puget Sound on the West Coast, so I know what the boat is. I've been on that boat. I know what it's capable of because we discussed it at length with the captain, but it has no reason to surface except to say, just so you know, we're here, because the boat can go undetected for months at a time, doesn't need to get refueled for like 25 years or maybe longer with the nuclear fuel that it has. So that's a show of strength. How close do you think we truly are to having a situation unfold that involves a military confrontation with North Korea?
Oh, I think we're still considerable ways away from that. We don't want to go there. China doesn't want to go there. South Korea, Japan, they don't want to go there. This clearly was just, you're exactly right, a continued show of strength, and I think more importantly, a show of unity. It is unprecedented for the folks, for the Senate to go to the White House grounds for this meeting. Why is that important? It signals to the North Koreans that this is something that the United States, the executive branch, and the Congress are united on. It was this, and some people have been saying, well, we didn't need to go there and whatever, and kind of like, no, yeah, recognize that this is intended to also send the signal to North Korea, China, that the United States is really, really serious about resolving this issue. Practically, there's also an important thing here, message here. This is Donald Trump going to the U.S. Senate and saying, I want your input. I want to develop, make sure that we're all on the same page here, because this is a big deal. And so I think the optics were good. I think they were necessary. I'm kind of disappointed when you hear people coming back saying, well, you know, why did we have to go to the White House? A big deal. It's 16 blocks from the Capitol to the White House on a bus. You're going to the meeting anyway. Is it that big of a inconvenience for a senator to get on the bus and go to the White House?
No.
Most of the time, these guys are clamoring to get to the White House.
And it's not like you had to sit in traffic. They clear the traffic for you. You got that going for you. It's not that big a deal. You're right. But I want to get to a couple other things, Pete, before we run out of time. Pete Hoekstra here, former chair of the House Intel Committee, former Michigan congressman. What we do continue to have, it seems like three times already this week, confrontations between the United States Navy and the Iranian Navy. They keep having these I don't know, run-ins, if you will. At some point, somebody's pulling the trigger here. I mean, this is you can't keep bumping into each other in the way that we're bumping into Iran and not have something happen.
I think that's exactly right. You're just setting yourself up. And I'm not meaning us. I think the Iranians are setting themselves up for there to be a dangerous miscalculation. And when there is, the Iranians will lose, but it will raise tensions in the region unnecessarily. And this just continues to show that, we reached this nuclear deal with Iran. And Iran has done nothing to change its behavior. It was a lousy deal. There should have been some preconditions in there for a change behavior by Iran, but it never happened. And all we did was push the problem down to the next administration, which means Donald Trump and America now need to deal with this because it wasn't resolved a few years ago.
Right, and they can all blame Donald Trump for all the issues. I mean, North Korea has been passed down from administration to administration since Bill Clinton signed a bad deal with North Korea. All right, I guess that's all we're going to get to today, because I do want to talk about Turkey bombing U.S. allies, but we don't have enough time today. Maybe next time, Pete. Always appreciate your input.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Always great. Pete Hoekstra, everybody, former chair of the House Intel Committee. Where are we? Time will tell, my friends. But I am saying that deal with Iran, you keep knocking into their ships and they keep knocking heads. At some point, I guarantee you this, American sailors are not going to be on their knees again getting their picture taken by the Iranian Navy. That happened during Barack Obama's tenure in the White House. That will not happen. It's 52 after.